long list of prayers, and it's okay to ask the Lord for things, but there's a time that we just come into the Lord's presence and we just saturate. This is why having the baptism of the Holy Ghost is so important, is because you have the God language to be able to flow in the Spirit, not just meditate. You're flowing in the Spirit. How many knows the Lord wants you out of your mind and into your spirit so you can get into the mind of Christ, so that he can get to you the wisdom and the knowledge of the mind of Christ, and then you won't be stressed in your regular mind? Amen? Because you already have an edge. Turn to somebody and say, like Pastor David said, an edge. An edge. Now, you can either be edgy, nervous-wise and on edge, and your nerves about ready to pop, or you can actually have an edge which builds your confidence. Because when you know you have an edge, you're ahead of your competition. You're ahead of your opposition. You're ahead of those that are trying to come against you. And the Lord wants to make you the head and not the tail. He wants you above and not beneath. Hallelujah. To be overcomers. Turn to somebody and say, I got a secret. I got a secret. And guess what? The only ones who value it are going to try to find out what it is, because you would not have whispered, I got a secret, unless that you wanted somebody to come and actually take the time to pursue you to try to get that secret. Because secrets or mysteries is something hidden from the normal, ordinary perception or awareness. Now, knowledge, some knowledge of a person or a knowledge of an event or some other thing that's going to happen, a surprise or something that has been behind the scenes that only a few people know, that it's not accessed by everybody. Say, it's not accessed by everybody. And so God has some things that are not accessed by everybody. Matter of fact, he said the flesh mind is at war against God and cannot understand it. And he said this world, he hid it from this world. But unto his children who are called by his name, we have access points to the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God, which far exceeds all the rest. How many have been seeing the reports of NASA? And they've got the new telescope up there that's in infrared. And now it can see further and farther into space than ever before. What is it doing? It is their hope is that they're mapping now what they could not see before. What was hidden is now revealed. Turn to somebody and say, something hidden, some secret of God is going to get revealed to me tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So secrets of darkness, those things are used to cloak sin and evil, hoping not to be exposed, so that the operation is not brought to the light of judgment. Let's go to our first scripture in John chapter 3, verses 18 through 20, and we'll see if our system operates really good. Praise the Lord. There it is. Thank you, Pastor Jason. He is a quick study and a quick learner. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word said, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. Somebody said, there's no judgment. In other words, God's not judging us to hell if we are in a relationship with him and believe in him. Amen? All right. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. Not for not believing in God's one and only Son. Look at verse 19. And the judgment is based on this fact that God's light... light having to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, his revelation of knowledge, his revelation of truth, of who he is, came into the world. But people loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. So people who have evil will want to hide in the darkness. Darkness, as we learn from Bishop Ron Carpenter, has a lot to do in the Bible, not only of evil, but of the lack of knowledge and ignorance. When a person is in darkness, they are not in the awareness. How many knows if you're in the dark over something? Well, everybody else in the whole office knows about it but you, because they kept you in the dark, which means you didn't have knowledge of it. And so when you have light, then you know what they're talking about, even though they don't think you know what they're talking about, and that gives you an edge because they don't think you know, but you already know. Jesus walked this people planet knowing something ahead of everybody else. And so he was trying to reveal things to them. Now I want you to understand that in your daily walk, there are things that God can equip you with and cause you to actually be further advanced than even everything else. And that's what is going to cause promotions. Because promotions come from the Lord or the knowledge and gifted in you from God to do up and above beyond what others are willing to do because they're still in the dark to it. All right, when you open up your mind to read, to learn, you are now taking in light of knowledge. Especially it's from the light of the Lord and knowledge of things that are not sin. But let's take a look at the next scripture in verse 20. In verse 20 said, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. The things they hid in secret would be exposed. What exposes all secrets? The light of God. What exposes all secrets? The light of God. Hallelujah. So no matter what side the secret is on, we can have that. Let's take a look at Mark 4 and 22. He goes on to say this in Mark 4 and 22. For everything that is hidden, everybody say everything that's hidden, will eventually be brought into the open. And every secret will be brought to light. All right, now we've always heard it preached, just what I read to you before, that the only secret place and the only dark place and the only place to hide and the only place for this usually is something that's evil, something that's sin, and so on. But I want you to take a look a little closer at this from what we learned last week. Everybody say everything,
everything
that is hidden.
That is hidden.
How many hide stuff at home? Anybody hide stuff at home? How many when you have something in your car and you want to lock your car up, hide it from plain view? How many do a lot of hide and hope nobody goes and seeks? Right? How many have ever hid a $100 bill in your wallet way back in the crevice somewhere? All right, you're hiding it for what purpose? So that others won't find it and steal it. And so that you won't use it inadvertently on a compulsive situation, that you are saving it aside for some particular purpose down the road. All right? So everything that is hidden, doesn't matter why that it's hidden, everything that's hidden, because you can hide good things, you can hide bad things. Everything that's hidden will eventually be brought into the open. Now, God wants to reveal things to us before we get to heaven. Because everything's going to be revealed there. The books are going to be opened. All the works is going to be read. Everything's going to be open. What we could have known from God is going to be, oh, he's going to wipe our tears, yes. And I think some of our tears at first is how much we could have had that we didn't pursue. Because we bought some of the toxins of this world and we did not use what we had. Because I believe sometimes that what we have is we have a predetermined part of humanity that wants to go to easy rather than more. And so in our mind, more means harder. But if we take easier just by the normal thing, if I want to take it easy, which means I don't want anything to be conflicting or a challenge, I just want it easy, I don't want any stress, then we get exactly what we had before and less. How many been going down the highway and you didn't have the cruise control on, you thought you did, you took your foot off of the gasoline pedal, and pretty soon before you knew it, you were going slower than what you thought you were supposed to go. And you thought you had it on cruise control to keep you where you were going. But see, there's no cruise control with God. You can't set the cruise control and just go. Matter of fact, the Lord will disconnect the cruise control. And if you're not involved in it, it'll slowly slow down. So I want to change something tonight. How many knows there's all this terminology out there. And we say to people, take it easy. How about let's speak to each other, overcome today. Overcome today. And see, when you start understanding something illuminated to overcoming, then overcoming becomes easier to overcome. That is why when an overcomer has conquered and got some secrets from the Lord revealed in their lives, why the next challenges actually have to be greater than the ones before, because you already whooped the ones that are exactly this. Oh, I got this. I whooped that 10 times. I know how to take that out. I'm already matured past that level. In the gaming in the gaming community, it would be like getting past, I'm going to date myself, going all the way back to Super Mario Brothers, and just trying to repeat level 1-1 over and over and over again after you whipped it 50 times. Boring. God has meant you to grow so you won't get bored with your life. That there are some challenges, you've got to go to Him to find the answer. Every time you ask yourself a question and can't answer back, it's because you don't have the answer. You got to go and dig it out of the Word or dig it out in God. You got to find the answer. Don't give up and say, I can't. No, I can. I can overcome. I can do all things through Christ, His anointed one, His anointing, and the residency of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ. So I want you to understand this, that this is wonderful things. Everything that's hidden is going to eventually be opened up. Every secret is brought to the light. And if we find the light, we find the answer to every secret. If we show the light on it, we can find the secret. It's just like having the lemon paper. You know, they wrote things in lemon and it dried on the paper and nobody can see it. Until you put a candle behind the paper, and now as it heats up, you can read what's on there that was invisible. Everything that's brought into the light that was hidden before, the treasure map, and how to get to all God's blessings are simply by getting the light closer to what was hidden, and He starts revealing what other people don't see. And how many just happen to like to know more about you than what everybody else says about you? How many of you have run into so many opinions that a time when you were younger that you could get confused at all the opinions about you because it was trying to crowd out what you really knew about you? So when you go to God, and that's why I say, I'm not who everyone says I am. I am who God says I am. And I must be. That means I make a decision to become what He said. So whatever He said I am, whatever I dig out in the Word that He says, that's what I'm going to be. I make a conscious decision. I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to overcome. I'm not going to be, put me down. I'm going to pop right back up. There was something that should be ingrained into every one of God's people is, you want to mess with me? It might be stressful now, but I'm going to learn everything here, and I'm going to be far ahead of everybody else. Because I got an edge. I've got an edge. Hallelujah. All right? So those who seek the truth pursue the light of God's revelation. So when we're going after truth, we're really pursuing the light of God's revelation, His wisdom and knowledge. Did you know that God is the wisest at money? You find God's wisdom on money, you won't have debt and stress. You find God's wisdom in another area. You find God's wisdom in how to keep your mind solid instead of having roller coaster rides every week. Yes. Mood swings. We've got more moody people in America than we've had at any other time. I think we are borderline on the most mental disease than in the other time in generations. What's happening? And it creeps into the church. And we pray, I don't have the spirit of fear, but I have the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But I'm dealing with anxiety. What is anxiety? Fear. I don't have the spirit of anxiety. I have the spirit of Christ. So the Holy Spirit's never got the shakes. The Holy Spirit's never panicking. The Holy Spirit is never in fear. So we have to train. What trains our mind? It said that our mind is renewed, a renewing of our mind through the Word of God that we come into agreement with. Just ask Dr. Caroline Leaf. She's proved it scientifically over and over again that what you hear and say to yourself believing it, the ear is trained so that your neurons of your brain start to rewire. From the negative to the positive. Aren't you glad that you can come into the positive and not stay in what the negative? I had so much negative when I was younger. I had so much things going on in life, and I believed part of it. And so I had a rejection syndrome. I had low self-esteem. I had all sorts of stuff that was going on that God had to fix. But I will tell you that when I started to stand up and say, no, I'm going to be who God says I'm going to be, and then pursue that, that's when strength started to come. And then I could whoop what the enemy, used to whoop me by the enemy. Amen? And I want every one of God's believers to be able to whip it. Oh, yeah, buddy, you think you can throw that again? Boom, got you by the neck. Down you go, because we're going to overcome. A thing about a secret is this. Once you've had something revealed to you, every morning when you get up, you get to make the decision of whether you want to put that into your day. I'm going to say that again. From fire and glory, anything that we got from fire and glory that was powerful, we have to make a decision to put it into our today. Everything that we get in other teachings, we have to make a decision to put it in our, and every day we have to put it in. Matter of fact, Paul said this. He said, I find that my flesh tries to get up and I have to mortify or kill the deeds of the flesh every day and yield myself to the Lord. He said, I can't go through the motions. If I go through the motions of life, life will beat me up. And he said, I got too much to do. Hallelujah. And I imagine that's why Paul was happy he didn't have a wife and 11 kids, because of the weight of the thing he had on him to do that God had given him. But he still said, it's still a fight. Still a fight. Matter of fact, if you look, and this was a question that was asked by one of my proteges, said, what is Paul talking about when he says, when I'm weak, then am I strong? And if you go through and really look at that, they were saying to Paul, you must be weak that you got jailed. You must be weak that you got beat. You must be weak that you got stranded on an island. You must be weak. He said, then I'll be foolish and I will boast in the weaknesses, because he said, not one of you has withstood sin unto blood. But I've been beaten with those stripes 3 times. I have been whipped with rods 7 times. I've been persecuted, chased out of cities, and you think that's weak? Here's how you know it. All that I've been abused, I'm still preaching the truth and still going to do it. Now that's strength. If you can whoop somebody and they get back up from a rock pile after you think they're dead and they come right back into the city and preach again, they're not weak. They took a beating and got right back up. See, the world says if you don't have any beatings, that's when you're strong. No. The whole Bible says that if you take things for Christ and you're persecuted for Christ and still hang in there. The danger in America is, with so much of this wishy-washy feeling out of alignment, is that people are not tough enough to go through hardships. That's why they call the World War II generation the greatest generation, because they answered the call and they were tough enough. We got folks that if they had to give up something for the war cause, they would whine and pout and protest, and a lot of them would be Christians, because they've been given that God only blesses and you don't have to go through anything. But my Bible tells me if you want the glory, you also have to suffer with Christ.
That's what it says.
Mm-hmm. And that means for Christ, for the things of God. Now, I'm going to come back to this other thing. So you find a secret. Something that's working. Like right after fire and glory, something happened for 2 weeks. Did we keep it going? Because if we didn't, it'll fizzle out, and we will pick something from before the revelation and stick it back in by laziness, and then we wonder why we're back in the original. Whatever secret God revealed to us. That's why I said we're going to wear the devil out with the healings, the miracles, the testimonies, because we're going to keep having miracles, testimonies, salvations, and so on. Because what you keep alive is what keeps living. So if you were praying in the Spirit an hour a day back a while, and now you're only getting to pray 3 seconds, 3 minutes, you're lower than where you were. So you're not as strong as where you were. Catherine Kuhlman said, the price is heavy. But once you get there, you have to maintain the price of his presence. That's good for me too. That's good for the preacher too. Put me apostle, bishop, senior pastor, whatever. It's good for me too. Just because there's a title doesn't mean I get to slip up and just hang out. The Lord won't allow that to happen. He's going to test my pursuit. So we're going to see if somebody says, I got a secret. If you think they got something valuable, you'll want to know it. If you think that they're full of mischief or it's absolutely nothing, they're just talking, you'll go, yeah, and blow it off. So the Lord says, I got secrets to reveal to you, Eagle Heights Worship Center. It'll be the ones who think that it's valuable that'll start pursuing and using those tools. How many have used something from this last week and started to put it in? You will, and as you continue to put it into your life, more and more is going to be revealed to you. I'll go a little further. How many want to go a little further? All right, got more than half of you. The ones that are silent, just hold on. God always welcomes seeking. God always welcomes seeking. As a matter of fact, the Lord teaches it. He says that if you seek, you will find. So without a seek, you may never find it. How many, when you lose your car keys, do a little seeking? Or do you just levitate the car keys and make them come to you? No, you're not Magneto, right? You got to go find them. How many have never been able to find enough and ask the Holy Spirit, where did I put them? How many done that? Let me see your hand. Did you? Oh, it's a secret tool. And all of a sudden you'll wait. It's happened for my wife. It's happened for me. All of a sudden, a flash, a spiritual revelation will flash before us as to exactly where they're at, and we'll go find them. But he waits till we ask. He's seen us flopping around looking at the last 101 places. He knows now we're late for our appointment, and we're frustrated, but we didn't ask. We're seeking in our own power, but we didn't ask. The little lady lost a coin, and the Bible says that when she found it, she was happy. I'll tell you a little story real fast. We had a little lady that she was engaged to be married, but because her dad was sick, and she said, I've got to be with my dad for a while, he couldn't wait for her. So he went on and married somebody else later on. She ended up being 101 years old before she went on to be with the Lord, and she never remarried. Her eyes had grown dim. She was the one that shouted at 80, and the Lord got on me at 16, Miss Eva. And so Miss Eva, at age 90, had lost something, and she couldn't find it because she's wearing these thick glasses. And actually, it was her thimble that she was knitting. She was still knitting at 90 years old with glasses she couldn't hardly see through. But she lost her thimble, and it rolled underneath somewhere, and even with the broom, she couldn't get it to come out. She said, Holy Spirit, would you please help me find my thimble? It's really important to me. And without any other movement, the thimble rolled from underneath the china cabinet and hit her foot. The Lord can send angels to find thimbles, because what's important to you is important to him. And if he's important to you, you'll run after the things, and I'll run after the things that are important to him. All right? Give God praise for that one, because that's a true story. So when you seek, if you don't seek, you'll never find it, most likely. It just won't bump into you. Matter of fact, if it bumps into you, you won't know what bumped into you, because you weren't seeking for it. But I like what Bishop Tudor Bismarck said. Bishop Tudor Bismarck, he was poor. He was walking everywhere. He didn't have a vehicle, and he was hoping for a vehicle sometime. But as he was walking along the street, something happened, and a Mercedes-Benz hit him with the mirror on the Mercedes-Benz. Now, this is over in Zimbabwe. So one of the wealthy people, just run him over. Bumped him with that. And he looked and he saw a Mercedes-Benz. And instead of cussing at the driver, he said, whatever I bump into, I need to perceive something. He said, that day I decided I'd believe for Mercedes-Benz, even though, because it had brushed my life. Up until then, I was believing for maybe something, just a little bit of bicycle, unicycle, tricycle, whatever may come, just to get me somewhere. But when a Mercedes-Benz bumped me that day, I grabbed faith that if it crossed my life, God wants me to have it. And he's got one. There are things that come close to you that if you don't recognize them, they'll go right on by you. The Lord was walking on the water, and the Bible says that he would have walked right on by his disciples had they not have cried out, even though they didn't recognize him and thought him a ghost. If they had not have recognized something was taking place and somebody was there, he'd have kept on walking and met him at the other side and said, "How was that? I was out there just waiting for you to see me." So while John Cena's going, "Can't see me," the Lord is going, "See me. Look upon my face," right? So let's go a little deeper. "For everyone that seeketh, it is assured." I want you to say this, "Not only shall find, it is assured that if I seek, I will find it." This has to be a part of something. If I am looking for something, even though I don't even understand what I'm looking for, if I seek the Lord for it, I will find it. He will give me instructions of how to get understanding, knowledge, wisdom, revelation to find it. Turn to somebody and say, "I'm going to find a whole lot more stuff. And I'm not going to put it in the closet. I'm going to put it to use." Ooh, that means you're going to have an edge that other people don't have. Hallelujah. All right, let's go a little further. So the Lord welcomes seeking. He welcomes searching, inquiring, pursuing. He welcomes us to ask things. Because he says this, many of the preachers, as a matter of fact, prophetesses said this, the proof of passion is in the pursuit. The cost of God's presence is time in it. And without a seek, access may never be granted. Without a seek long enough to show how relentless and unstoppable we are, hello, fire and glory, unstoppable we are, the deep answers are rarely ever revealed. How many have ever seen somebody do a crossword puzzle? How many have seen somebody do a crossword puzzle for a pretty good amount of time? Or looking for a Sudoku and going through it and find out they got two wrong answers and they got to go back and redo the whole thing to try to find the other thing. And you're going, "Man, I wouldn't have done that." Well, let's just ask, would you have done it if there was a $500 prize for the first one that could do it? Or is there a $500 prize for everyone who could do it without cheating? Somewhere there is a value that you will attempt and keep after it till you get it. If you lose a child, they can't be found in the mall. How valuable are they to you? You'll shake policemen. You'll get everybody in the whole store looking for them. Why? Because they're valuable to you. Other people, and invaluable enough, and you're going to tell them how valuable it is, and they're going to help you find your child. Right? That's the determination the Lord's looking for. When we're praising and worshiping him, he's blessing us. We're getting in a relationship. But now he says, now what are you going to go for? What are you going to go after? What have I promised you you're going to go after? That's why I love what Bishop Tudor Bismarck said. I want it all. I want it all. Everything that God said, I want it all. And I've been repeating that since DCM 35. I want it all. Hallelujah. Without a seek, access may never be granted. Again, the deep answers are rarely revealed without a long, relentless, unstoppable seek. It is to the unstoppable that the deepest answers are revealed. How'd you get that? Sought a long time. Back just after the turn of the century, there was a man that he would go into a room and he had one light, a table and a chair, and he'd sit in total darkness. Darkness representing the absence of the knowledge. They would pay him to take a problem. He would read it before going into that room. He would lock his mind on. He'd go into the room. They'd lock the room. He said, until the light comes on, do not open the door. He would go in and sit for hours, sometimes a little past a day, 2 days, rarely past two. Because the more he focused, the more hungry he got, the more he was thinking about, I'm going to have to go to the restroom here pretty soon. I need to hurry this up. The more he engaged his mind asking. They don't even know how he got the answers because he wasn't asking himself. He was using a spiritual secret of asking the Lord. And he would turn the light on when the Lord spoke in his ear. And he'd write the answer down, and they would pay him bukus of money for solving their unsolvable problems. One of the men said this. He said, you don't get paid for what you think you know and what you think you can do. You get paid for solving problems. If you don't solve somebody's problem, which you hate, if you don't solve somebody's problem, which annoys you, if you don't solve somebody's problem, which stresses you out, if you don't solve somebody's problem, you won't get paid for it. But when everybody else is all stressed out, stopped, and can't, and you're the one that says, I got this, they'll pay you the extra because you're the only one that got it. It saved my job at the factory. I've told this story before. There was a problem. My boss had gone and left one half of all of Warner Lambert's bubblegum production worldwide into the hands of this young kid and said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. It's the first full 2 weeks that I've had be able to go on vacation in a while because I hadn't had nobody to turn it over to. Lord have mercy. And then there was a problem. And it was a problem none of us could find. 31 years mechanics couldn't find it. 30 plus years of experience in the same department making the gum couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. But as I'm getting worried that I'm in charge, they're going to call my boss. I did all that I was trained to do. God help me. Lord, I need you to reveal what's going on. I need you to give me the answer. Give me the answer. Give me the answer. I need to know. And it took an hour and a half of constantly saying, Lord, I'm listening for it, but I need it. I need it. I need it. And he said, look and watch here. Boy, I stopped right where I was at and looked and watched, and it revealed itself. The mystery problem revealed itself right as the most experienced man in our department turned his back. But because I stopped when the Lord said it, I saw it expose itself. It was like a hiding demon that just comes right when you turn your back. And then, I said, okay, I'm going to stand right here. I said, Cecil, you keep doing what you're doing. I just saw that problem. This batch is going to come out wrong. He said, how do you know? I said, I saw something happen. And sure enough, the batch came out wrong. He goes, you better just stand right there and see what's going on. I said, yep, I plan on it. And we kept on going and stuff. And then pretty soon he's like looking over his back a little bit, see if I'm still there watching. And once I got the notice after the sequence of it, I said, there it is again. And I said, now, what did you just do that when you turned your back to write it down? He said, it was this thing right here is what I'm doing. I said, all right, you're going to wait 5 seconds to write that down because you know it like the back of your hand. You can write it down anytime, which is the signatures that ingredients have gone in, which you have to have because you don't have those signatures. Something goes wrong, whoo, you're in trouble because you didn't do everything you're supposed to do. And he saw it too. And I said, all right, let's get the mechanics on it. And you know what? The big boss who didn't like me that was over the third shift, because I had challenged him in a meeting over something that was baloney in the first place because I'd researched it out. Young kid challenging a guy that's been around for 20 years who loves to chop people's jobs. He was known as the headhunter. Oh, so he came after my job. And so he waited and my boss got back. And he went after me to my boss. And my boss said, wait a minute. Nobody else, not yours, not first shift, not second shift, not anybody else, found this problem but the one I put in charge. I will commend him. I won't fire him. Get out of my office. Something that you ask the Holy Spirit for an answer for can not only solve a problem but stop your enemy in his tracks from coming after you. to give God a praise right there. Anybody want to know what it was? The corn syrup pump was having a wobble. It wasn't doing the dance. It had a real wobble. Every so often, the pressure thing, and it would go, blah, blah, and that, instead of steady pour, that blup put an extra 3.5 pounds of corn syrup into the batch, which made it go, blah. Once that it was revealed by the Lord and I was able to confirm it, we were able to fix it, fix the problem. They had to just replace the motor downstairs to the corn syrup part, and then it ran like glass, and there was not another problem. But that problem was causing our company $100,000 a day. And asking God for the answer reversed it around. The pump was like $25,000, but it just saved them an additional $100,000 a day because nobody knew the problem. They're going to have to shut down production. They shut down production, they got to let people go. Let people go, those people ain't going to have something in their paycheck. What God reveals to you can save Joseph, a nation, and your family. How many knows that what the Lord whispers to you is highly important? Not only for others. See, the danger is being a minister and only looking for the Lord to whisper to you answers for others instead of also answers for yourself. Somebody said, come on, Holy Spirit. And he said, if you're listening, focus, listen. All right, I'm going to go. You want to go a little deeper? I got a little bit of time here. Praise the Lord. Said, let's go to John 4, and you're up there with it. Thank you. But the time is coming, and indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. When you are worshiping in the spirit, what comes next? What comes next? What comes next? Truth. We've always thought that I have to meet both of these qualifications, yielding and saying yes to the Lord and being real to the Lord. But what does he also say? If you can worship the Lord in the spirit, the next thing that comes because you've been open and honest to him is the truth. So when you're open and honest, the Lord starts to reveal. As long as you're a closed vessel, he can't get it to you. But the longer you stay open, the more he can get to you. Somebody said there's a whole lot more knowledge. So when you have the Lord on your side, why are you scared of anybody else with worldly authority? See, if I pray in the Spirit and get the answer, and it's from the Lord that gave me the 5 pages to speak in 2 minutes or less in front of a city council, the first time I was nervous because I didn't know what I was in, didn't know the surrounding. I just had to trust God. Had to put my nerves aside and just go for it. And there was other people who said, Apostle, you didn't seem nervous at all. How many have ever, the first time you did something for the Lord, you felt like you were just a nervous ball of everything, and it didn't show up because the anointing was covering you? But after I know a thing, why would I be nervous? I know how to tie my shoes. I don't get nervous every time I tie my shoes. I know I don't have palsy, so I tie my shoes like crazy. Miss Crystal tried to help me tie my shoes. I tell her, I'm thankful you handed me my shoe, but you ain't tying my shoe because you don't know how to tie my shoe. We'll be here forever trying to tie this shoe. Just let me have it because I know how to do it. When you know how to do it, confidence comes. So that's the confidence of you knowing how to do it. Where does the confidence come before? God knows how to do it. And he's given you the inside track of how to do it. Baseball batting coaches, golf coaches, anybody that's coaching teaches the mechanics and the technique to be successful. Well, why aren't you out there on the field? I'm too old, but I'm going to give you what I got. Because you can still do it. If you do it this way, matter of fact, there's a place where one of the greatest golfers in the world, Tiger Woods, had to go back and have a trainer actually fix his swing. because of the injury he went through trying to swing and hurt his arm, he had to go back and have actual therapy and then had to have a recoaching because he just didn't come back automatically in match. He had to take wisdom from a person who had not won the awards he'd won, who had not had the accolades he'd had, who not had not had the applause he had, who had not been on the winner's circuit or on the television as much as he had. He had to trust somebody that could go from an outside view, look at and find out what he's doing, analyze it, and give him the right information to get him back to where he needed to be. If he would have said, "I know more than you," he'd have never fixed his swing. He fixed somebody that knew they were good at making sure that was there. That's what mentorship does, and that's what the Word does, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will take stuff that God knows and get it to you. "Well, I've never done this before." Yeah, but he has. Yeah, but he has. Has God ever had successful business people? Do you find them in the Word? Yeah. Name for me some successful business people in the Word. No, in the Word. In the Bible. Bible scholar. I know I probably slurred that a little bit. It's all right. In the Word. Joseph could deal with a nation. Business. He had to build storehouses. He had to handle all the ins and outs of everything. Yes. All right. Who was a woman who was a great business lady? In the New Testament. I'm going to give you a clue. It starts with L. She sold cloth of purple. Lydia. And she gave a lot to the widows and the different ones. And so Peter raised her from the dead so she could get back to work. Who is one of the greatest cowboys in the Old Testament, raising cows that everybody wanted? They'd pay gold and silver for it. Abraham. Yee-haw! One of the greatest cattle ranchers. Said he was rich in these things. They weren't just given to him. He was a businessman. But he was a friend of God. And he got the friend of God. He got the extra business. Woo, glory to God. How many like secrets from the Lord that make you successful? Amen. That's where promotionomics comes, when you're using those secrets. All right, I'll move forward. The purpose of a mystery or secret that the Lord uses is to reveal it at a later time. He doesn't want to reveal it right now. Or open it at a specific place in a time. How many knows he's got the seven seals? The seven trumpets, the seven vials. They are locked up in a mystery until at what time that they are opened at a particular time of his saying, when he has his son open those things. And when he has those angels blow those trumpets and those things, those are hidden. We can say this is going to happen, but we don't know exactly when. We don't know it all, but we know it's what it's going to bring. And if we know what it's going to bring, then we know what the next thing is coming. So we know that once the Lord opens the seals, once he opens the seventh seal, once he opens and sounds the seventh trumpet, once he does the seventh vial, those things are complete and those things are open. God hides things in prophecy. Somebody say, "Well, that's why prophecy is important." But we've got an America that doesn't believe in prophecy. They'll believe in the failed prophecies of Notre Dame than they will more in the prophetic word of the Lord. They don't believe in those things. And in doing so, they rob themselves of understanding. Should God's people then honor God's prophetic words so that we can understand the prophecies? Amen. All right, next thing that God does is he hides his master plan in secret and in mysteries. Did he tell everybody he was going to have a son born of a virgin? He told Isaiah so Isaiah could write it in a prophecy. Did he say where that the Lord was going to be born? A different prophet said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And another prophecy, he was going to be raised in Nazareth, in Ephraim. Other prophecies, I think there's like 311 messianic prophecies spread over top of that. And Herod and the wise man couldn't quite figure out what was going till God was revealing the plan. Why? Because the Lord didn't want them to mess it up because they were evil. So he tells people in prophecy, and those that don't believe or those that aren't listening to him can't see it, they can't hear it, and it's hidden on purpose. Did you know that the disciples, they were trying to figure out why is, and I'm going to get to this a little deeper in the next couple weeks, why did Jesus talk to the crowd in parables? And he gives an understanding that I've hidden stuff in the parables. The Pharisees are listening. I've hidden the parables. Sadducees are hidden the parables. And he actually said, all that matters is whether they're willing to see with their faith and whether they're willing to hear and listen. So the ones that are not willing to hear and not willing to listen, he could say anything he wanted to about the kingdom and they would go, ah! And have a problem with it. But he's going to say, it's unto his chosen disciples. Say, that's me and you. Unto believers that we get to understand the teachings of our Lord. And they're a lot deeper sometimes than just what some of the commentaries say. We're going to get into that. I've given a number of my proteges the assignment, and I'll give you this too. The very basis of Jesus' preaching code is found in Matthew 13. If you read Matthew 13, you will find the code of how to read other things of his teachings. It's also found in Mark chapter 4, I believe it is. And yes, in chapter 4. And matter of fact, in Mark 4 and 13, put that up, Pastor Jason, Mark 4. I know I'm skipping down and I'll come back to others later just for the sake of time, just because the Holy Spirit led me this way. So Mark 4 and 13. Jesus said to them after they asked, why do you teach them in parables? Now, parables are not proverbs. Proverbs are short wisdom statements that contrast two things or reveal something, and it's in a short form. A parable is hidden in a story. It gives an illustration. Okay? And Jesus said to his disciples, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, the sower and the seed, how will you understand all the other parables? Now, he told them, but unto you it is understand. I've got to get you to understand, so I'm going to reveal it to you. And he gives the meaning of it, and Matthew writes it down. Mark writes it down. The meaning of it. Thank God that the Lord gave the meaning of it and said, here is the Sudoku answers. Here's what it means. Here's what the code. How many ever did this code where they had the alphabet and numbers, and then you had to look at and put the numbers in and find the hidden message, right? It's called decoding or deciphering. That's what revelation and stuff does. Is when you, once you have a component of it, you begin to be able to decode. Because those revelatory aha moments that you put into your life, you can now put into the code of your daily walk and watch something change. And what was hidden from you that was causing frustration or causing you not to be able to move forward, now all of a sudden there comes a light. Because remember, once the secret is revealed, it's because it came into the light. And Ephesians, Paul said that your light of your eyes of understanding, the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. Boom, come on to the mysteries of God. All right, how many like to dig just a little bit more? All right, let me go to, let me back up and tell you some more things that God hides. God hides in secret. So, besides prophecy and his son and end time prophecy, let's take a look at Psalms 91, 1 through 2. How many love Psalms 91? All right. Once he puts that up, look at this. Those who live in the shelter or the secret place of the Most High will abide, rest, live, rest. Under the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, the place of my safety. So this hiding is for safety and refuge against an enemy. And how many see that throughout Psalms 91? If there comes a plague, enemy will not come nigh you. So if you get in the secret place of the Most High, if you stay in presence of God in the secret place, and the secret place is not on social media. The secret place is not on Netflix. The secret place is not on the Monopoly board. The secret place, the Lord says, is in your prayer closet, wherever that may be. What's one of the prayer closets that my children have seen me use? Living room on the carpet. You've heard me tell in the Lord spoke to me in the wardroom. Most times it's on the living room carpet. Ask me why. It's one of the few places in the house that I can get on carpet that I can stretch my legs all the way out. Just get totally before the Lord. Otherwise, I'd be underneath the kitchen table. That's not comfortable. Or dining room table. In the kitchen, it's too narrow. Down the hallway, it's too narrow. There's other places. Just can't. In my bedroom, no, I'd be knocking over the ironing board. And so I just can't go prostrate before the Lord. That's my prostrate place. And he meets me there. When I go there. He starts meeting me the second I put my knees onto the carpet with the intent to go there. He starts meeting me. Prophetess one time said, she was in the dining room, said, how can you go wide open that fast? You hadn't even started praying yet. Because when I hit my knees, I'm humbling myself before God. Not exercising my knees. It's not a physical position. It is a heart position. One of the things that happens, I'll tell you a little secret place that I've found. If you ever see me do it, you'll know I'm getting out of my mind and into the spirit. Is when I'm over here worshiping the Lord, and I'm thinking, and it's time for me to switch. And boom, I'll start feeling Father. Because it's not from the position. It's calisthenic. No. It's right here. It's a decision to die. Stop my mind from spinning. Yield to the Lord. Your yielding place is your strongest access into his secret place. Well, I'm going to say that again because it's a truth. I'm just giving you a truth from the Lord. Your yielding place is the strongest access. How many knows the praise team can praise and praise and praise and praise and praise and praise and praise? But once you start yielding and praising for yourself and worshiping for yourself, boom, the access comes. That's when it comes. Doesn't matter the drum beat. It's not a certain drum beat that does it. It's not a certain song that does it. It's not a certain thing that does it. It's not a certain shrill that does it. It's exactly our yielding. And that's when we get in and we're safe. So he says, I will guard you. I will guard you. And King David knows this. Look at Psalms 25, 12 through 15. Because sometimes we need to get our mind guarded. We need to get some things guarded in the secret place. He says this, who are those who fear the Lord? He will show them a path to choose. He will teach you the path that he chooses. He himself shall dwell. This person that fears the Lord. Next one, 13. This person will dwell in prosperity. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? The reverence of him being number one. Anytime you reverence the Lord, he starts coming. the difference before Rochester, New York, and then when you started playing worship music in your office. And there's a difference if you don't play it. At home, if you don't have the worship, if you don't revisit. So I was challenged because my wife said, what did I preach at Fire and Glory? I preached on Unstoppable and you preached on Unstoppable Glory. She goes, yeah, Unstoppable Glory. And you remember anything else? And I'm going, man, everything that's going on, oh my God, I need to go back and revisit it. Because it is only been May to July. And if I, as the man of God, can forget what was preached by the woman of God in 60 days and can't have a nugget that's still with me, I got to go back again. And so I turned it on Miss Crystal's pad, which is really my pad that I loaned to her, and turned it on. And all of a sudden, she flips it over. I said, no, I heard it flip. We're going back to what Daddy wants to hear, and you're listening to it with me. We're going to stay right there. And she said, mixture won't get you to unstoppable glory. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's come up again in these 60 days by the Holy Spirit. There's other stuff that's come up. I want to go back. I want to grab those nuggets that he gave us. Then look at what he gave through other ministries that are touching our lives and see more of what the Lord is trying to give us understanding. Now I'm going to skip ahead just a minute because we understand. Go to 27 and 5. We like this one if you read it. For he will conceal me. He will hide me when troubles come. But we can't produce the troubles and then go try to hide. Or hope trouble comes so I can hide in God. How many knows that when it comes, if it comes, he'll conceal it because I've been in his place. I've been in his sanctuary. So one of the things is he hides me. Now let's go over to Colossians. Go over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3. There it is. Think about the things of heaven, not so much the things of earth. What's he asking us to do? Change our thinking. Change the focus of our thinking. Because look at verse 3. If we do, then verse 3 says, for you died to this life. Water baptism. When we went down, we died to our old life, and we gave it over to the Lord, and we were resurrected in his life. We have been dead to this life so that he can live through us in this life. And says your real life is what? What's the next word? Shout it out loud.
Hidden.
Isn't that the same as a secret and a mystery? Your real life is hidden and a mystery and protected and a secret, and it can only be found with Christ in God. He has purposely hid your full potential, your full purpose, your full prosperity, all the blessings of who you are, it with Christ in God. With Christ. Christ being our Lord as well, but also the anointed one, his anointing, and the residency of the Holy Spirit. So how do we unlock the real life if we're not in the Spirit seeking answers to our real life? And if we don't, then we can inadvertently drain God's men and women for them going time and time and time and time and time and time for one or two, three, four, five people instead of bringing what is for everybody. That God can touch everybody at once. If we're before the Lord asking him, I'm just not happy. Well, where's your real happiness? Hidden with Christ in God. I don't know my purpose. Where is it hidden? Mm-hmm. If I don't understand what my goals are supposed to be for the Lord, where are they hidden? How do you access them? Time in the presence of the Lord, asking Him, and if you don't even know what to ask, praying in the Spirit, so that, and long enough that the Holy Spirit has time to get it from God and get it to you. To decode the mystery, and through the word, all right, read this verse right here. And so you start reading that verse, and all of a sudden your eyes go boop. How many of you have been reading the word, and all of a sudden it's like somebody lit up the scripture? Do you know that's how you work in the gifts too? In the early part, how did I know to go to Megan? She lit up like a light bulb in the Spirit. I got to close my eyes and saw this aura light bulb of the Lord. How do I know to go here? Then pretty soon it's the whispers. It's the light first. Then as you get closer, it's the whispers. And then He'll start whispering in your ear. Tell Jeff this. Yes, sir. Boom. And the closer you get, the more is revealed. The further away, the more obscure. Pastor Parsley said to me also, the closer you get to the presence of God, the faster things go. So in other words, anything hindering your advancement, you can go into the presence of God and put pressure on it to break. Because the enemy cannot withstand that. If the enemy tries to hold on, and men and everything else try to hold on, you've done everything God says to do. You can go before the throne, close to God, and say, Father, I invite you into this matter. I invite you into this matter. As if they're accusing him, as if they're stopping him. This is what Paul and Silas did. When they prayed for each other and then sang praises, they were inviting the Almighty into the bonds that they were in. Can God be bound up? No, they fell off. They invited them into a closed jail cell. Can a closed jail cell hold God? No, the doors flew open. Can a prison made of man hold God? No, he shook it off of its foundation. When you invite God that strong and hold on to Him, you can wrestle with God. You can invite God. You can hold on to God. That holding on will produce a blessing. Who held on until they were blessed? Jacob got smoked by the blessing, pronounced a blessing, because he refused to take it easy. Take it easy. He would have got absolutely nothing from the Lord. What he determined. He didn't even know what he was really asking for. But it came up in his spirit and he said, oh, I'm going to hold on. Who holds on to an angel?
What it is to me.
Do you see Peter and John or Mary Magdalene or any of them holding on to the two angels down by the tomb? Don't go till you tell me where he's at. Show me the Lord. Mm-hmm. Boy, Jacob had some guts. One angel can slay 185,000 men or more with one edge of the sword. And he says, I've got to believe I've got enough favor with God to wrestle for a blessing. But it came at a cost. And said the angel gave him the blessing, but smote him in the hip and brought his hip out of socket. They didn't have replacements back then. So watch this. Anybody think like I think? Here's an out-of-socket hip. Oh! 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 That's everybody, right? He blessed me. He blessed me. That was an angel that did it. He blessed me. He blessed me. Every bit of pain reminded him, I'm blessed. What did Pastor David preach to you on Sunday? That when we're persecuted, it's just adding another blessing. And God says, what? I'll turn the pain into power. So if I have to be reminded of that pain, I don't go, oh, God must not have done it because the pain's still. No, whatever pain tries to come back, I got the power. You want to reject me? I got the power. You want to call me names? I got the power. You want to lie on me? I got the power. You want to accuse me falsely? I got the power. If you want to, all this other pain of the past, I got the power. Instead of reverting in and having a nervous breakdown. When something tried to revisit me, that would have totally took me back into the same cycle. A cycle of self-loathing, a cycle of rejection, a cycle that would put me right over the edge of depression, and probably put me on meds. Something rose up and said, I'm not going there again. I am not that anymore. I take authority over these thoughts. And guess what happened? I haven't had any more trouble with it. Because when you take authority, you just choked it out. You put a cork in it. Right in the devil's mouth, all the way down to his toes, and he can't say nothing. Hallelujah. The power of God's secrets revealed. All right, look at Matthew 13. We're going to look at it real quick. I've only got a couple minutes. Then we'll revisit. Matthew 13 and verses 9 through 13, as the Lord is telling the parable, and he says this, anyone with ears to hear should listen. Which means what? You got to focus. You can't let anything else be in your mind. And understand. His disciples then came to him and said, why do you use these parable stories to talk to the people? He replied point blank, you are permitted to understand the, everybody say it out loud, secrets. The what? Secrets. God had a secret. He is telling them, even though they don't quite understand yet, it is permitted. What is permission? May I go to the restroom? The teacher says, yes, you may. Because that's permission. Can is ability. Can I go to the bathroom? I don't know. Does your bladder still work? That's ability. May I is permission. Which means once an authority gives you permission, do you have access? How often? Unlimited by the authority or unlimited by what you choose to use? Permission is by what you choose to use. I've got a hall pass. I can use it anytime I so choose. I'm playing Monopoly. I got to get out of jail free card. I can choose when to use it. I have permission, but now I have to choose to use it. Somebody say, I have permission, but I have to choose every day to use my permissions. To do what? Understand the secrets of the kingdom. I have to choose to use my permission to understand the very things of the kingdom of heaven. But others are not permitted. Go to the next verse. Said, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. Those who truly listen for it, they will be given understanding, and that they'll be given more of. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. Go to the head of the class. Because if you know more than the rest of the class, guess where you're going? Head of the class. I'll tell you a little quick 30-second story. We were up at a thing that we paid event for it, and we were looking at charts and stuff for whether we were candidates, clients, or so on. They were trying to teach us how to read the stock market charts. And he's explained, how many see what I'm talking about? I look around. I'm the only one in 450 people with the hand up. I mean, that's pretty intimidating. He said, yes, sir, your name? I said, Don McClintock. Mr. McClintock, what do you see? So I thought, okay, I'm going to tell him what I see. And spoke it out in front of 450 people. Did I know before that what I saw? when I saw it revealed, I knew it was a spiritual thing that had revealed even man's knowledge to me. I spoke it out, and people, huh? And he goes, Mr. McClintock is exactly right. Anybody else see that? A couple other hands. Said, Mr. McClintock, go to the head of the class. If you see it and understand it, you move ahead of everybody else that's in that same situation. Then God can train you to be a deliverer of people if they'll hear and listen. But revelation of understanding and knowledge has to be with illumination. If there's no illumination, I can tell you the secrets of finance, the secrets of physical nutrition, the secrets of the mind, the secrets of how to keep your youthfulness, the secrets of God. But if we're not hungry enough to access and truly listen. Oh, the salad's at Wendy's, huh? I better get there before they close. And then miss the secret of the Lord. We have to train ourselves to focus till he illuminates our minds and say, oh, that's something I can add into my life. And when you add it, it starts growing into abundance. Somebody shout abundance. But for, there's another class. Go to the next verse. We'll end with this. But for those, all right, let me read from here is what I got. It doesn't sound right up there on that. It says here, you are permitted, but for those who are not listening, even the little understanding that they have will be taken from them. In other words, ones who don't listen, the understanding they have shrivels up and goes away. The only way to grow understanding is to continue to listen to the voice of the Lord and not let anything take you off of focus. Prophet has said, you got to keep your focus. Keep your focus. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Because the more that you listen and understand, the more that you'll have. This is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. That's not us. We're going to look and really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. Their mind's somewhere else. They've closed off. You can always tell an eager learner. Martha, an eager learner, eager learner, or Mary? Why? How can you tell? And was she at Jesus' feet snoozing? Intentive. Listening. She didn't even ask questions. She was taken in with such fascination. She didn't have to just keep pouring, just keep pouring, just keep pouring, just keep pouring. And I wonder if we do that to the Lord, how much he will pour. Just a minute, Lord, I gotta go check my TV dinner. Or intentionally say, I'm pushing all everything aside. I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear from you. I just want to hear from you. Whatever you want to speak to me about, I just want to hear from you. And listen. It took a prophet sent to me in Dallas, Texas, to tell me, shh, shh. And I thought, that's the most rude little guy. I'm bigger than him. He said, God told me to tell you, you talk way too much, and he's trying to talk back to you and give you the answers and can't get a word in edgewise. He had never met me. For they think through their much words, they're heard from God. When the Lord is challenging us to much listen. Because first listening may bring silence. How long can you listen in the silence? Because the longer you listen in the silence, the more keen your ears become, night hunters. When my wife starts to go to sleep and I have a little bit of the TV on, I've taken the volume down. At first it was so I don't disturb her sleep. All of a sudden, what I used to have at 30 volume and 25 volume, by the time everything is restful, I have it at 5. I've done an experiment to see how low can I go and still hear it. Now, boy, it'd be really spiritual if it was 0. I could still hear what was coming through. Now I'm picking up supernaturally the airwaves across the TV microwaves that are going through. And I can usually go down to about 4 to 3. At 2, it's just... But if you can listen long enough, you can hear the still, small voice of the depths of the secrets of God by the Spirit. He wants to sensitize our ears. They've been so desensitized by everything and every opinion, every loud voice, and every bit of television and society. And sometimes we think it's in the loudness of preaching, when it may be in the quiet place that he wants to speak. And I'll conclude right there for tonight. Would you stand and give the Lord some praise and just thank him? Say, Lord, just open wide my ears to listen so that, Lord, I can hear what you're saying. Other times that I can speak in the Spirit and you will interpret, into my mind and my spirit what you are saying. But I just want to spend time with you and hear you. Because if I can hear you, I can have the secrets of God revealed for my life. I won't have to wonder. I won't have to stress. I won't have to reach around for other things. I just want your voice on it. Because if I can believe your voice and obey your voice, I know there's only